John chapter 20, ultimately. I told Scott this morning, I really don't know how to take off on this message, and I really don't know how to land it. So I'm just hoping we'll learn in the middle of it how to fly it and get to where it needs to be. I know the character. I've known the character for a long time, but I don't know exactly what God's trying to do. So y'all be in prayer for us this morning, and that God would use, just let me get out of the way and use us as a vessel this morning. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. I'm going to use Romans 8 because in Romans you see Paul writing about something that happened to him, but is also very clear to us. The Romans at this time were a Roman. They're a lot like America, not in the modern terms, but in the way their leadership was and how worldly they were. But then there were Jewish Christians who got saved and were a part of the Christian church at Rome. But there are also Romans who were totally pagan who got saved. Could you imagine going to church? On one side, you had somebody who grew up by faith and rule and law and order, and then have someone who was worshiping everything under the sun, literally, and doing whatever they wanted to do, and they both came and worshiped together. Could you imagine that? Well, I hope so, because that's where we're at today. Because that's who we are. There are some of you that were raised in strict Christian church, and you were told exactly what to do and what not to do, right? And people will tell you stuff like, you don't need to do that, and you need to be better, and you need to act like somebody. I'll use the way my dad said, act like you had some raisin, right? All right, so you got that one, but then you had some people who had no structure whatsoever, had no rule, no idea how to do it. They're sitting there going, I didn't have a father who went to church, a mother who went to church. I had no example. That's the word I was looking for. I have no example of what you're talking about. But somehow, some way, God is so gracious that they get saved too, and they attend church with you. Amen? So let's read Romans 8. I hope I gave you enough time to get to Romans 8. 1. There, listen, so I'm going to give you about 11 verses, and then we're going to go into what the message is today. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Man, that right there should just, there's no more, if you're in Christ Jesus, I don't care if you were raised in the strictest home ever, or if you was raised and it didn't seem like your life was ever going to get under control. My gosh, if you're in Jesus Christ, if you're in Christ, there is no more condemnation. There's no condemnation on you. Let me say it this way. When God sees you, He sees you as His child. And He's not going to condemn you. Man, you should, if nothing else, you just say, whew, take a deep breath on that one and say, thank God. Because some days you feel like I might still be a little condemned. But God reminds you, if you're in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Whew. I don't know if I'm going to make it through this. I don't know if I'm going to. I hope I do get where I wanted to go or where I thought God wants me to be. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm not trying to, we do this all the time. You got to be this way. You got to do better. Church, you got to wear your hair this way. You got to wear your clothes this way. You got to read your Bible. Got to go to church. All that's great. Got to pray. Great, 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 great. Yeah, but if you never get saved, you're still condemned. If you never get saved, you're still under the law of being condemned. Man, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Amen. Has anybody ever here said, I'm going to do better? Let me ask you this. You don't have to answer out loud. Have you ever done this? I'm going to quit doing that. Have you ever done that one? I did that for 30 years. I'm never going to do that again. Ever, never, 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 ever going to do it again. Probably because I was in a consequence or guilt, shame, or blame. You know what I'm saying? On the other side of a sin, you have that guilt, shame, blame, right? You hit the wall. But guess what? You say, I'll never do it again. Right? And then what happens? You're confronted. You're in the flesh. You're weak. And guess what? The law condemns you because guess what? I said I was never going to do it again. And there I am again doing it because guess what? I have no power in my flesh. Right? Whew. God sending his own son. Watch this right here. It was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Amen. For sin condemned sin in the flesh. We couldn't do it, so he sent Jesus. There's no way possible you could have done it. If you're sitting here this morning saying, I don't know how all these people are so righteous and so holy and so good. Man, I could never be like them. You are dead wrong. Because everybody in this room that is righteous, holy, and is doing well and in peace and joy and happiness is because they came through Jesus Christ. If they didn't, they're just as miserable as you are. They just look better. They just dressed up nicer. They're a better actor than you are. Amen? Because once you get Jesus Christ, you stop acting. Scott said it this morning. A lot of people say, well, when you get to heaven, you're going to talk about preaching, teaching, all the great stuff you did, work you done, all these things. No, here's what I'm going to do. If I can do it, I'm being honest with you. If I can do it, and if you can do it, I'm going to be on my face, prostrate before the Lord. I'm going to lay on the floor, and I don't know where my face ends and the carpet in heaven begins. I don't know if they're going to be able to tell the difference, but I'm going to be flat on my face. And if I can do it, Debbie, I tell you, if I can do it, if I can get one finger to come up, if I can get one finger off the ground and somebody says, why do you belong here? I'll point to him, shaking hand, tears running down my face, and I'll say, because of what he done. Nothing more and nothing less. Not because the church I attended, not because the people I lived or hung out with, is because that man became sin and died for me. Him. That is why we are here. That is why we are free. I couldn't do anything without him. Everybody in heaven will do that. Your Billy Grahams will lift their voice into heaven. There is one worthy. The slain Lamb of God. There is only one worthy. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. You can't help it. It's an inside job. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Amen. I can't tell you this, but all I can tell you is when I was lost, I can tell you I was hungry for one thing. I don't know what it is anymore, but some of you might know. But mine was a number 4 at the McDonald's supersized with a Diet Coke. If you don't know what that is, that's a double quarter pounder. Amen? With cheese, large fries, and a Diet Coke. Because the Diet Coke is magic. I mean, it is. It's magic. It somehow erases all the other calories that existed. And you say Diet Coke, and they say, amen, you're right on target. Right? That used to be, before I got saved, that's the kind of stuff that I was hungry for. I mean, I could tell you, I could pull up there and it wouldn't matter. Do you want extra? Yeah, extra, whatever. I don't care. I make sure you get that number 4, supersize, Diet Coke. Some of y'all are going to leave here today and go to McDonald's. I know it. McDonald's has gotten 2 mentions in this church service. People will be there. Amen? When I was raised, it wasn't McDonald's. It was McDonald's. Anyway, by the way, that was wrong to bring that up. Anyway. When I got saved, now I was hungry for a lot more things in the flesh, but I want to explain this to you. When I got saved, I got hungry for Jesus. And if you don't know what that is, you don't know what that is, because it's unexplainable. Because a man who is not saved or a woman who is not saved cannot explain that. Because before you get Jesus, you're not hungry for him. Before you have Jesus, you're thinking, man, that's not for me. I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. I've been listening to this my whole life. I'm 47 years old. I've been listening to this my whole life. I just don't understand that Bible. You can get every version. You can get everything. You can get modern English, post English, whatever. I just don't get it. You know why you don't get it? Because you ain't got Jesus. You get Jesus, you can get old English. Amen? You can get the King's English. And if you ever happen up on it, man, I'm going to preach. I don't mind, y'all might make y'all mad, but right here, this is good. Listen, when you get Jesus, listen, when I first got saved, I had a little New Testament Bible that I took to work with me, and I would read it, and all of it I did not understand, but when I understood one, I'd lose it. When I read in there and said, there is now no condemnation to the, hey, man, I would lose it. And I'd sit there and I'd weep. I remember I worked with a man who unloaded my track. I would put yarn down it all night. And he would unload my track. He was a Samoan guy. Loved him. He was awesome. But when I got saved, I changed. And I would get into a fit at work and preach and pray and weep just over one verse. And I was back there, it was just me and him. And I remember sometimes I would get so tore out in the spirit that I'd be sitting there preaching the yarn and praying the yarn and weeping. And I think some of that yarn is going to be in heaven. It will carpet something up there because some of it did get saved. Amen? I'm just saying. And I would look down and that guy on that high street would be looking at me going, I mean, because I was nuts for Jesus. You know why? Because he saved me. Before I would read anything but the Bible. I would talk about anything but the Bible. But praise God, when I got saved, I got hungry for him. And when I got hungry for him, I found this. The more you seek him, the more you look for him, the more you will find him. If you truly get saved, that book will become a life source. It will become that number 4, supersized, amen, with a Diet Coke. It will be all that in a bag of chips, amen. You will sit there and go, praise God. I didn't even know that was in here. I remember reading it, and those very words came out of my mouth on a regular basis. I cannot believe this is in here. Somebody should have told me. And my daddy's like, I did. Amen. Go to verse 5. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Verse 6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Hallelujah. Because the carnal mind is in enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You can't do it. There's no possible. Y'all need to make that your life verse if you're not saved. You need to go underline that right there. If some of y'all are trying to come to church to please God, trying to please your parents, trying to do things, you're trying to, oh, I'm going to come and do this. Listen, it's impossible to please God without being saved. It's impossible. Some of y'all this morning, you got up, man, if I go to church, God's going to be happy with me. He's going to check the bar. He's got that big pencil up there, and he's going to check me off. No, he's not. Hey, man, he's glad you're here, and so am I. But praise God, what pleases God is a heart that's turned to him. What pleases God is somebody that loves him. You know what I was thinking the other day? God doesn't like to hear us cry over being punished. Ooh, some of y'all, when I first said that, y'all like, well, I don't like, God likes to hear me cry. After being punished, I don't like punishing my kids. I don't. Hey, man, I got rules. I got things I want to do. And you know what? Sometimes you got to punish them. And I don't like to listen to them cry about it. Amen? I don't. It hurts me and it hurts them. Amen? But you know what? I think God would like for us to cry about things that hurt him, though. Amen? Well, you know what? Everywhere I read in the Bible, especially like in books like Nehemiah and Ezra and places like that, if you read in there, I wonder when American Christians are going to get upset about what upsets God. Amen? Right now, we're worried about our president. We're about our Congress. We're worried about the judicial system. We're worried about everything else. I wonder if we'd ever get upset about what God's upset about. I wonder if we'd ever get broken over sin again. I wonder if the church would ever get upset, not because somebody is sick and dying, but somebody's sick and dying of sin. Because you know what, God, you know what? He looks at our country and he wants so much more out of it than us just to have a good president. He wants us to be a saved nation. He wants a people that are not ashamed of him. He wants a people that don't cry out to him only when two planes fly into a twin towers and we cry out, oh, God bless America. You know what? I heard that when in 2001. Oh, God bless America. We are the most blessed nation ever on the face of the planet. If we get any more blessed, we won't know what to do. And some of y'all are sitting there going, you don't know me. I do know your situation. Are you hungry this morning? Could you get food? I guarantee you that. Can you get a hold of a Bible? Can you get inside a home? Did you sleep outside last night? We're blessed. Whew. I didn't know where we were going there. I'm sorry. I apologize. But God's good like that, ain't he? Because there's somebody in here just needed plowing, I guess. Amen? God don't mind to do that every once in a while. He does that to me all the time. Amen? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. Take your Bibles, go to John chapter 8 real quick. Luke chapter 8, sorry. Go to Luke chapter 8. Dr. Luke. That is very doctrinal. What I gave you in Romans chapter 8 is very doctrinal. That's doctrinally sound. That's what it looks like to be saved. You don't have you're not doing stuff on the outside. You got saved on the inside. One part of the Godhead moved in your life, which is the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Christianity is the inside job. Amen? Always remember that. Just repeat it to yourself. Christianity is an inside job. Amen? When the vine gets in you, the fruit comes out of you. Amen? So one part of this Godhead, God moves in the side of you and it changes you. Well, that's very doctrinal. That's what it is. You're only God's if God is in you. Okay? So now I'm going to give you a very good portrait illustrate of somebody who was saved in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the Gospels. This is a very portrait of somebody who was so far out of God, but then got into Jesus and didn't belong. And I'm going to give it to you in three parts. What they look like before, what they look like right after, and what they look like when the storm hit their life. You might want to write this down. If you don't know this already, every Christian here probably can say this. You're either going into a storm, in a storm, or coming out of a storm. Amen? And if you've never had a storm in your life and you're a Christian, it's coming. Hey man, I hate to be the weather bearer in your life, but it's coming. Amen? So listen, I want y'all to meet this lady with me real quick. Her name is Mary Magdalene in Luke chapter 8 and verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village. Are y'all seeing that? Okay, good. Preaching and shewing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. That's Jesus. And the 12 were with him. Who? The 12 apostles, right? Those are the big guys, right? Well, mine is Judas. Sorry. And verse 2, listen to this, read this with me. And certain women, yeah, you know who they are. Sorry. Golly bomb. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Never mind. And Mary Magdalene especially, okay? Mary Magdalene especially. He put her out on Front Street, her name and everything. Her name and where she's from. Mary from Magdalene. She had a city that was had a lot of devils in it. A lot of cities do. Sorry. Out of went seven devils. How many? Seven. So before he met her, she had seven devils. One devil's enough. Seven's too many. Amen? So listen, I guarantee you, seven devil Mary, many times people would say, you need to get your life straightened out. You need to stop lying, stop manipulating, stop being so mean-spirited, stop being a gossip, stop. I didn't use the normal ones. I'm sorry. You need to change the way you dress. You need to straighten your life up. You ever hear that one? You need to straighten your life up. Amen. You need to get sober. Amen. Okay. Now we can get a couple of amens because we're in the normal route. You need to sober up. Amen. You need to get married. Stop fooling around with everybody. All right. Got it? You got to get your life together. You got to get together. She said, I would. I can't, but there's seven devils in here. And every time I want to do something better, I end up getting wrecked. Anybody else got wrecked before you got Jesus? Amen? But see, before he married her, her life was complete. Number seven is completion. That's what it means. Number seven is completion. Guess what? Her life was completely overran by the devil. My life was completely overran by the devil. There was no margin for me. I lived way outside the bounds of Christ. I knew something about Christ, but I didn't know enough, apparently. But I was way outside the bounds. People would say stuff like that to me all the time. Kevin, you need to straighten your life out. We're worried about you. We're worried that you're going to die in your sin. We're worried that you're going to do something crazy. We're worried. Right? Everybody, when I came into my family at that time in my life, everybody would clench their purses in their pocketbooks and act like they maybe even go outside and lock the doors to their car. Hey, don't be so spiritual. We got a couple more people in here like that. Listen, I don't hide my testimony from anybody, especially, hey, listen, I was at the bottom. God found me in the pot. He found me at the bottom of the murky pile. Everybody else was standing and sitting on top of me, and he reached down below them and pulled me up out of the murky mire that I was in. And I'm not ashamed of that. I can't tell you how great I was because I was not great without Jesus. He come and got me. Somebody said, well, you're a preacher. I before I even knew I was a preacher, I was lost. Amen? I want to get lost in this message. And certain women which had been healed of the evil spirits, and Mary called Magdalene, out of whom, and now listen, and Joanne, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, I like Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him out of their substance. Some of them had money, and some of them had businesses, and some were upstanding women. And when much people were gathered together and were come in and out of the city, he spake by a parable. Oh, goodness gracious, she was there for messages. She was there for healing. She was there for a lot of things. But she was in a crowd of women, man. God, some of them had money and sophisticated. Some have been raised in good homes. Now, y'all stay with me right here. They're walking places because back then they didn't drive. They walked. Jesus had sandals, and that's why they washed his feet all the time, because they were dirty feet, right? So, but guess what? You had these sophisticated women. You had the apostles and Jesus, and you had all these cool women. I mean, people that were outstanding. Now, listen, I'm talking about women, but I want to talk about men too, because sometimes we look at each other and we kind of judge people, prejudge people. We think, well, they're good, or I'm good, or they're not so good, and they're not good. Well, anyway, those sophisticated women, Herod's secretary, she was involved. She was walking. She was like walking with him. She would look over. God, I wish I'd get somebody in here who knows what I'm talking about. Every once in a while, they'd cut their eyes over at Mary, crazy Mary Magdalene. Sorry. You don't know what I'm talking about, but see, people who've been with the devil for about, you know, have about seven devils in them, they don't walk the same. They don't look the same. They really hadn't figured out all the things they're supposed to do yet. Oh, man. Is there anybody in church this morning who hasn't totally figured it out yet? Man, I've been in this for a while, and I ain't got it totally figured out. She's just got this huge smile on her face. Scars that are unspeakable. But she's just got her eyes on Jesus. And just walking. She walks kind of funny. She got this little beat to it. Like, you know, because she was... She wasn't raised in church. She was raised in... maybe in the club. So she's like... and they're like, she shouldn't walk that way. She's like, I don't really know how to walk yet. I'm just learning. I had seven devils in me, but now I don't, and I'm trying to figure out life without devils. Is anybody else in here trying to figure out life without the devil? Amen. It's harder than you think, because when you only know the devil, it's hard to know God. Because you hadn't got the whole book yet. You ain't got the whole story yet. And guess what? Your mind's just now getting reworked. Amen? But see, she's going in the right direction because her feet's following Jesus. Her eyes are following Jesus. And it's going to work out in her mind eventually. Don't judge her yet, because guess what? Her story's not done. That's what God really wanted me to tell some of y'all. Some of y'all look at certain girls and certain women and certain men and certain boys, and you think this, they're too far this and they're too far that, and they're not going to get it. This other person's doing so much better. That girl's better than this girl, and that boy's better than that boy, and that man's better. You don't know yet. Stop it. Stop it. Pray for them. Encourage them. Speak life, not death, into their life. I know you're struggling now, but God's got a plan for you. I know it seems like you're going in the wrong direction, but God's a good direction person. God meets people on the road, on the wrong roads, doing the wrong thing all the time. It's your fault when you sit there and go, they're never going to be like so-and-so, and they're never going to be a spiritual so-and-so. Guess what? I guarantee you, every one of those women are walking down that street, and I guarantee you Judas would cut his eyes back every once in a while. Why is she with us? And I guarantee Jesus was standing in the front of all them going, because when everybody else leaves me, she won't! Because before she met me, she had seven devils. When after she met me, she was just happy to be there. But when the storm comes, see, in the end, see, some Christians talk good. They do. They say spiritual stuff. I've met some Christians that will quote Bible to you. They will say spiritual stuff to you. And guess what? They will beat your brains out. Amen? Verbally and physically. They're mean-spirited people. Love you, brother. Goodness, that's kung fu stuff. Amen? But you get a radical who just loves the fact that they're saved and born again. They were at the very bottom, and they're in the faith, and God's letting them do what they never thought they could do. Some people are just happy to be here in their right mind, hear it clear, hear saved, hear born again. They're not wanting to do everything. They're just glad to be here. I'm happy. I know God wants something out of me or I'd be dead. He wouldn't have ever saved me if he didn't want anything. Hey, man, I love this. Let's go to John chapter 20 real quick. Go quickly, because we got to hurry. Because we got so many plans for the rest of the day. And the first day of the week, y'all see that? The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and she seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Y'all see that? Mary Magdalene in the biggest storm of her life. Why? Every time I read this, I've done this a million times. And guess what? Write this down right next to this place. I'll preach it again. I will. because I love this lady, because she reminds me of somebody. You know what? Every time I read, she's up. She didn't even sleep. See, she couldn't go out on the Sabbath, so she had to wait till the next day past the Sabbath, the first day of the week, to go to see Jesus, to go and take care of the body, to go worship him again one last time. And she's sitting there in her room. She's pacing. She's got all her spices. She's got all of her ointment. She's got all of her towels laid out, and she's got her worship on. And she, you know what? She's like, I don't know. When at first, I need to go as soon as they say it's legal. When it's legal, I'm going. And you know, that's the law, and I'll go by the law because I don't want to be stoned to death because I want to get down there and see Jesus. But some of y'all forgot. See why is she so faithful to Jesus? Because I think, why didn't she realize that her Savior is dead? The one who saved her is dead, you know? Because sometimes people ask me and say, man, you know, Jesus ain't answered every one of your prayers, and you have had to go through some tough stuff, and you don't always get the blessing. Why do you keep following Jesus? Because it's not because of what he's doing for me today. It's what he's already done. It's not what I don't know what Jesus is always doing, but I do know one thing. I had 7 devils in me, and I don't anymore. Amen? I was running in the world wide open, and I was on my way to death, but guess what? Jesus found me, and praise God, he ain't got to do a whole lot. Somebody said, well, what if heaven didn't exist? It absolutely does, but even if heaven didn't exist, the best life I've ever lived is a Christian life. Amen? I know I'm going to heaven, praise God, and I know it exists because he promised, and God can do everything, but he can't lie. Amen? So God's promised me a place in heaven that I'm going to dwell in with him for eternity, but he can't lie. But guess what? Even if he didn't, even if there was no heaven past this place, my best life was the day that I got saved, August 28th of 04. If he just saved me to let me live here, that's fine with me, because guess what? That's the best life I've ever lived. I've been known as a truth teller. Somebody that's got integrity, somebody who has followed God. And guess what? Some people come to me in very important times and say, can you do some things for me that are very important? And before I got saved, not one person would ever come to me and say, will you do something important for me? Praise God. Right now, hey, God saved me for here, but he saved me for later too. Amen? So Mary Magdalene sitting there going, I'm sitting on to go to the funeral of my Savior, not because of what he's doing, because I have no clue. I don't know why he died. I don't know how that's working, but I do know one thing. There's not one devil in me, and I'm good with that. So I'll honor him for what he's already done for me. Woo! But I mean, I can't help myself. I'm just going to preach. He says, but why? He's sitting there. She's like, well, if you want to really get technical about it, I sat and I did hear him preach the gospel. And one part of the gospel is the coming, the dying, and the coming back. So that same Jesus that we buried, there's going to be something happen. I can't see it now because I'm right in the midst of the storm. I don't really know what's going on, but I'm sure he'll figure it. He'll straighten it out before it's over. Some of y'all that are going through the hardest times in your life need to figure this out. You don't know what's going on now, but be sure he'll figure it out. For you. Amen, preacher. That's pretty good. Y'all are the quietest church I ever heard. Oh, y'all should have heard yourselves over there yesterday. You're a loud bunch. Every once in a while, just let loose and go, hey man, that's good, brother. We appreciate it. Or don't. I'm begging for amens, I guess. All right, thank you. Finally. Hey, where are we at? Now, see, if you do that, you're going to have to follow it up with some preaching, right? Verse 10. Then, all right, yeah, jump all the way down to 10. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. I would go through that whole bunch, but we're just focusing on Mary Magdalene. Mary went and got the disciples. They came, they inspected the tomb, they left, and she's standing there by herself. Everybody's gone. Everybody. The worst storm of their life. Jesus has been crucified. They don't know what's going on. Their Savior's gone. Their leader's gone. There's a vacuum. There's no leader. There's nothing. And guess what? Everybody's left, even the fancy women. Even the fancy men and everybody that's got titles, they all left too. And they had to go home. Amen? I've been preaching this my whole time. I've been preaching. They had somewhere to go. She didn't. She didn't have no plan B. I hate to tell you this. I ain't either. I ain't got no plan B. It's follow Jesus till the wheels fall off. Follow Jesus till the day I die or till I can't. Amen? Somebody said, what are you going to do different now? Nothing. I'm just going to find a way to do it. I'm just going to find a different way to do it, longer and harder and faster, because it's all I know to do. The wheels fall. Everybody's gone. What if everybody leaves you? What if the church leaves you? What if family leaves you? Jesus ain't left me. I'm still looking for him. She's still, Peter and John, can you see her waving at the end of the graveyard? See y'all later. Hey, Mary, you want to go with us? You can hang out with us. I love you. I love you guys, but you ain't my Jesus. Whew. I love you, preacher, but you ain't Jesus. Y'all better figure that one out. But Mary stood without the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept and stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, if you will seek me, you will find me. And seeth two angels in white sitting at the head, one of the other at the feet and where the body of Jesus Christ had lain. She looks in there. She sees angels. Some of us would be satisfied. We'd be satisfied right there. I've seen angels. I can go home. She looked all the way down into the tomb, and she's like, because see, tombs back then were down in the ground, in like a cave, and she's looking down into it, and she sees two angels. I mean, this is amazing. They're in there, and they're sitting where Jesus was. If you go to Jerusalem right now and go to take a tour of the graveside of Jesus, they'll take you to two different places because they're not sure where he was really buried. Ain't that awesome? Well, we think he was buried here. We think he was buried there because we really can't tell, because guess what? He got up. They buried him, but 3 days later. I love Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man, and he had a tomb. He was an undercover Christian kind of, but like when Jesus got saved, he got activated. Some of y'all need to get activated. So when Jesus died, he got activated. He come and I said, I want that body of Jesus. And they said, "What, oh, Joseph, what are you doing here?" He said, "I'm kind of like an undercover Christian. I've been waiting. I've had this one. God, I want to preach there. I've had one thing to do my whole life." It don't seem like much. But in my heart, I had this sepulcher that I was waiting to put my family in. But my whole life said, don't put nobody in it. Don't put nobody in it. Don't put nobody in it. And he goes, so everybody make fun of me. What are you holding that sepulcher for? Why are you holding that graveyard for? Well, who's that grave spot for? I don't know, but it seems like God wants to use it. God ain't never going to use your grave spot. Yeah, but see, God in the Old Testament said he's going to make his burial amongst the rich. And I don't know what that's all about, but I feel like I'm that one. Amen? It's just like the same guy who saved his donkey. Never mind, I'll talk about this some other day. But he was sitting there, and he's like, well, I got this grave spot. And everybody made fun of him until Jesus died. He's like, hey, does anybody have anywhere we can bury Jesus? God, I want somebody. I wish you just raise your hand. Everyone's going to say, man, I feel like I need to be activated. He's like, hey, I got a place. Why ain't you use it? I said, this whole time, I knew Jesus was the Messiah. I just had this feeling, and now it's time, and I'm gonna do it. So y'all put him in. You put him in. What's your family going to do? My family, it don't matter, because I don't think he's going to stay in there very long. I just don't. I've got a feeling that the way he was with everybody else's death and everybody else's pain and everybody else's suffering and everybody else's blindness and all, everybody else's deafness and everybody else's situation, he could overcome that. I think he'll overcome death too. Some of y'all need to really wake up and realize that he's going to overcome death. Stop worrying about death so much. Start about living. How about living a sacrificed life under Christ? Amen. I love that. And she seeth the two angels in white sitting, and in verse 13, and they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Ain't that a funny question? She gets this asked this twice. Angels speak for God. They come off the throne room. They ascend and descend. God gives them information to speak. They're only speaking for God. They don't have their own conversation. It's only what God says, right? So they carry our prayers to heaven, and then they descend with an answer. So the first thing they do is when they meet Mary, they say, why are you weeping? Ain't it funny that heaven's circumstance is not our circumstance? Golly, we got a little shout right there. You know, like sometimes we'll get in a situation where we think it's the end, and God said, that's not the end, that's just the beginning. That's not death, that's life. That's not salvation ending, that's salvation beginning. That's not where salvation didn't end when they put Jesus in the grave. That's the very beginning. That's the best part. Because if anyone, he had to die, and if he hadn't died, then you can't live. Don't worry, 3 days, it's coming, amen? So I love this. She stood without, she's like, you know, see, the angels are, you know, why are you weeping? Why are you crying? Well, my heart's broke. I don't totally understand. It's all right to cry when you don't understand. It's all right to be upset when you don't understand. But you can be in the right place still. Golly, bum. Man, I said something right there you didn't even get. You can be upset. You can be upset. You can be crying. You can be weeping. You can be mad. But stay in the right place, seeking Jesus. Golly, somebody needs to write that down. Some of y'all came to church just mad this morning, tired, hurt, aggravated. Don't really know. Sitting in the right place. Don't worry. You'll get it. Somebody, man, I hope he gets saved. I hope she gets saved. I hope she figures it out. Don't worry. If they keep sitting in the right place, God will get a hold of them. He's a big God. He don't need your permission. He'll do it. Amen? Good Lord. See two angels and the woman. Why weepest thou? She said to him, because they have taken away my Lord. And I know not where they have laid him. They take him away. They took Jesus away. That's what she thought. They've taken Jesus away. Man, I love her. She is tenacious. I want my Jesus. She ain't going nowhere without Jesus. Amen? I love this. And then guess what? It's amazing. This will happen. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew that not that it was Jesus. She turned her back on angels. Man, how crazy is that? She's like standing there looking at angels, having a conversation with heavenly angels. I know. I just make you feel uncomfortable. I'll stay right here. I promise. But she's like, hey, you know, we're just having an angel conversation. All of a sudden, she's like, where's Jesus? I don't know where they're laying. She just does this. man, Lord, you're talking to angels here. Heavenly beings. I mean, my goodness, what's wrong with you? You're talking to spiritual beings. She's like, yeah, but I didn't come here to talk to spiritual beings. I come here to talk to one person and one person only. My life can't continue until I touch him, until I see him. And all of a sudden, she runs into the gardener, right? God, I know I've preached that a million times here, and I'll do it again. Man, he's a good gardener. I mean, I'll just leave it at that. He is a really good gardener, right? She thought he was the gardener. She said, well, how did she not recognize Jesus? Because in her mind, she's seen him one way. In her, with her eyes, she's seen him another. Amen? She was looking for dead, beaten, crucified Jesus. He was resurrected Jesus. He always shows up better than you thought he was going to show up. Amen. Standing and knew that out there was Jesus. Verse 15, it gets really good. Y'all good? Jesus said to her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? He's the first again, once again, why are you crying? I hope God don't have, I'd have to say, God, you know why I'm crying. I'm tore out of the frame. I'm upset. I don't understand everything. And who are you looking for? Why are you crying and who are you looking for? Good Lord. I wish you'd asked that of the church today. Why are you crying and who are you looking for? Amen? Why are you crying and who are you looking for? Are we crying and are we looking for him? Sometimes I'm wondering, because sometimes I don't weep like I used to weep, and sometimes I'll try to figure it all out until I run out of all the options. I've tried everything we can do, Lord. I think I'll come pray. He's like, I'm good. Good, I was waiting for the whole time. I was waiting for you right here the whole time. The circumstance is not going to work out until you talk to me about it. Pray about everything. Pray without ceasing. Somebody says, well, okay, I ain't got time. You got time to talk to everybody else. You talk to yourself. Amen? Some of y'all talk to yourselves a little too much, and it looks weird. But praise God, it'd be all right if you'd get a hold of him every once in a while and ask him about those things. Should I date him? Should I date her? Should I marry him? Should I marry her? Should I quit this job? Should I go to work here? Here, I'll give you another one. I don't know if I want to go to church this morning. Well, if you pray for the pastor, the singer, and the people that go to church, church will get better for you. I just threw that last jab in there on purpose, I reckon. Verse 15. She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, she's kind. If thou borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Whew. Mary. That's the sweetest verse in the whole Bible to me sometimes. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. You know what he did? He used the voice. You know what I mean? That one that called you out of the darkness. That one that called you out of the darkness. If you've ever been saved, you know what I'm talking about. See, you don't get saved until God draws you unto himself, and it's the Holy Spirit of God, and he just knows that name to call you. See, Mary Magdalene had seven devils, and devils are loud. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but the devil is loud. But he's not louder than the still small voice of Jesus. Some of y'all got saved because you thought God was going to do it in a big way, in a big place, and real loud, and God did it in that little small voice when you was all by yourself. Amen? That's how he got me. He got me by this one right here. They don't know me. That's what broke me to get saved. They don't know me. You do, and they don't. He was talking about my wife and my kids. You know me, but they don't. You need to get saved and lead them to me. Whew. It wasn't loud. It wasn't powerful. It didn't shake the earth, but it shook me. Amen. It didn't break the seal of my home, but it broke the heart inside of me. And it bent me down. It made me another man. Amen. It'll make you another woman. It'll make you another man. Mary. She turned and she said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master. It's this way: master of the universe, master of all creation. Master over the blind, master over the lame, master over the deaf, master over the brokenhearted, master over the person that's financially broken down, master of the ones who need the gospel, the master of the poor souls. When they hear the gospel, they reach out to him, the master. But you know what she was saying when she finally said master? the master of my life. The man who can only speak into my life when nobody else could. You are my master. You are my teacher. And see, we've been hanging on this word for a couple months. Lord, master. See, he can't be your savior if he's never been the master of your life. He's the one, when he speaks into your life, you can't help yourself. Scott, come on. Everybody stand up. Listen, after this, you know what he tells Mary Magdalene to do? Chris got this last week. You know what he told Mary Magdalene to do? He said, go and tell everyone that I'm alive. Listen, does it matter if they believed her or not at that point? You know why? She's seen him. She's seen him. She felt him. She experienced him. You know what I'm saying? Some of you in this sanctuary, you're wondering, what does God want me to do? Go tell them that you've experienced him. He lives. He lives in you, and he lives amongst you. And guess what? When you tell them that, so, well, I don't believe all that Bible stuff. Can you show me? I can't show you everything, but I can tell you my story. This is who I was, Seven Devil Mary. I walked with Jesus for 3 years, and on the worst day of my life, I shook him and I found him to be a resurrected Savior. And guess what? One day I'll be a resurrected being. One day will you be in heaven. One day will you be in heaven. That's the question you must answer. Is he the master of your life? Is he the Lord of your life? If not, today would be an awesome day to say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins and be the Lord of my life. As he sings, if God's dealt with your heart,